Good morning, Emmanuel. We welcome you today to our service of worship here at Emmanuel, a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Whether you are a regular or a visitor here today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you're listening to the recording on the internet and send you our best wishes. This morning's Bible reading is Romans 12, 1-21, and is read by Sam Chandler Benjamin. Please look in weekly news for all the other notices that we have. However, I have got an Allen key that was found in the car park, so if anybody's lost one, I'll leave it here. Please come and claim it.
It's not a razor blade, is it?
No. Allen key. And finally, we'll have a few moments of silence while I light the Christ candle. Would you like me to light the peace one as well?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Good morning and welcome to our service this Sunday. I hope it is not only a welcoming service, but a warm service to you, and that you feel hopefully challenged and hopefully comforted. If my colleague up at the hill will be talking about the football results today, you know I don't do that, but I will mention the fact that two of our nations, there were two games yesterday, one more successful than the other in the Six Nations, and given that we can't please everybody, I don't think we have any Irish members of the congregation, do we? So we expect from Scotland today even the same miracle that England experienced yesterday. Even if it's a last-minute one, but 1 point is 1 point, isn't it? Psalm 138 says, though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. And with this feeling and with this assurance, we worship today. Our first hymn from Sing Praise, hymn 312, The Heavens Proclaim God's Glory. Be seated. We come together in word of prayer, and we end the prayer with the Lord's Prayer said all together. Let us pray. We proclaim your glory. We sing. We rejoice. We invoke you. We need your help. You guide us, you lead us, you instruct us, you correct us, and never stop loving us. Thank you. Thank you because you are the God of always the new opportunities, the God that rejoices in the sounds of babes, in the mumblings of words that aren't always clear, because you know what's on our hearts, you know what we are thinking, what we need, what we are feeling. So we can come as we are, with joys and frustrations, with hope and disappointments, because we need hide nothing from you. Your outstretched arms welcome us. And as you embrace us, you call us by our name. We have never been forgotten by you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for the gifts that you have given your people. that coming together in this place, in the partnership of churches, together with Highworth and your people everywhere, we see what we are capable of doing, of that which is good, of that which makes a difference. But it is true, we do make mistakes. We often fail. We sin. And that distorts our relationship with you and with each other, and often with ourselves. We need your guidance to walk through this to your outstretched arms, to become the new people you know we can be. You have given us light so that we can shine, but sometimes we hide it. You have given us hope so that we can share it, transforming the lives of others. But sometimes we are forgetful of this, and we don't let our hope be real. You have given us the sense of belonging, of family, friends, community. And we ask you that this may stand strong so that we may be able to overcome all that tries to separate us. In a world where many truths are proclaimed as yours and yet we know deep down have nothing to do with your will, help us to discern and to run the risk of loving. Through your grace, we know we are forgiven. Through your grace, we know we are restored. Through your love found in Jesus Christ, we know we are one people. To you be the glory forever and ever, and as one people we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespass, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And at this time in the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. We give you thanks for what we have received, and we dedicate this that we can share, what is in the plate, and that we give in different ways. Use our time, our talents, and our possessions to glorify your name, that the world may be able to recognize that your ways are the better ways. Thank you, dear God. Amen. And let us share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Choir will now sing the anthem, Ave Verum Corpus, William Byrd's version. Hail, true body crucified for us, Son of Mary, show us thy mercy.
From Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 21. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with a mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, as so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you so much, Sam. In Christ there is no east or west in him, no south or north. Our next hymn, 647 from Rejoice and Sing.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome, he knows there will be a clash. It's inevitable. Rome was the capital of the empire of its time, which included most of the known world, from Spain in the west, all across the Mediterranean, reaching Assyria, Armenia, the Arab countries, the north of Africa. And it saw itself as the eternal empire. But as such, eventually it collapsed. The letter to the Romans can be seen as the expression of Paul's deep, deep theological thinking, challenging the emerging church to see itself as different from the empire and explaining why that difference was so important. This is a church that Paul did not found himself. And I believe that what Paul writes in this letter continues to be a challenge to the church today. He wrote it in the year 50, more or less, and it has not changed in its challenge. It was a sentence in this letter to the Romans that led Martin Luther in 1517 to say, things have got to change, and the Reformation began. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile. All are justified freely by the grace of God through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. He writes that in chapter 3. In a world that is built on us and them, us being right, them being wrong, this is one major statement. But let's go to today's reading, chapter 12. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, not conformed. This is the key that opens up a new way of living, a new understanding, a new reality. Everything that follows in this chapter is based on that, verse 2. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. It's incredible. It opens up a manual of Christian ethics, how to live in the world, how not to conform. A world that has its own set of values, which don't always coincide with what God expects from God's people. I would like us to hold tight to that mantra, transformed, not conformed. And whenever you're facing a question of what to do and how to do it in life, and they happen in the important issues, yes, but sometimes in the simple things, go back to it. Transformed, not conformed. In this chapter, we are reminded that we should think of ourselves with sober judgment, not greater than we ought. Some people will find that very difficult to adhere to. Fill in the blanks. Remember, we are part of one body where we belong to each other. And this is clearly something that Paul likes to write about, because again, he writes about it to the church in Corinth. We are members of one body. We need each other. There are different gifts, all of which are necessary. And of course, he will remind us of love. Cling to what is good. Share with the people of God in everywhere. And you see, people have transformed that as we are the people of God, and yet God is the only one who will define who the people of God are. Practice hospitality. Oops, how did that get in there? Did he really mean it? Does it still hold true? And add the most difficult of all. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil with evil. Did he really mean everything he wrote in this letter? Are we expecting God to ask us to do the things that God knows beforehand that we deem impossible? If so, it's a waste of a letter. If so, it raises serious questions to what our faith is all about. Let me share with you a poem written by a friend of mine in Argentina who has authorized me to read it in the service. It's going to be provocative. Let me state that before I go any further. From its title on, I Resign Christianity, it's called. I Resign Christianity. I resign the Christianity that invents Christs to the measure of the Caesars of these times. I resign the Christianity that is content to sleep in moldy temples, fearful of mixing with daily life. Its struggles, its pains, and the injustice. I resign the Christianity that sleeps in the comfort of worship and does not waken to its prophetic vision and vocation. I resign the Christianity that dogmatically strives to encapsulate faith into absolute truths where there is no space for seeking or doubting. I resign the Christianity that is empty of love and empathy for the small ones, those who live in the heart of the divine. I resign the Christianity that turns the Bible into the golden calf. I resign the Christianity that is not willing to discern the signs of its times. I resign the Christianity that leans on white privilege and supremacy so as to distill its hatred for diversity. I resign the Christianity that is homophobic, lesbophobic, or transphobic. I resign the Christianity that is tepid and coward and never reaches out to the victims of policies that exclude, expel, stigmatize, segregate, make invisible, or kill. I refuse and resign the Christianity that refuses to get involved, forgetting that Jesus did get involved in history, in life, and never once doubted to denounce the words and actions of those who did not comprehend the subversive logic of the Salvation Project, which is the good news he preached. I resign the Christianity that became a prop, happy to seem, to pretend, but never to take on the commitment to walk in the sandals of the Palestinian teacher. I resign the Christianity of merit alone that despises mercy and ignores grace. I resign. Is there any phrase there that you could say, I would want to resign to that vision of Christianity? I found there was a lot of them. This, of course, is based in a reality a bit different from ours, but not that different from what is going on in the world. How to apply this reality? What is our true faith all about? What does God expect of us? Who is invited to the table we will be sharing in a few moments? We are discerned, and the word appears in the reading. We are called to discern what comes from God and what doesn't come from God, to be transformed by God's love rather than conforming to the world. So coming to the end of the chapter, just to make matters clear, if there is any doubt whatsoever in our minds, it says, if your enemy is hungry, what does it say? Flaunt your food in front of him? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give them something to drink. And the final sentence of the whole chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. None of this is easy, but Paul knew that because the empire, Rome, and this church was in the heart of the empire, had a totally different vision from what he presented to the church. And the reality is that so much of the world today still affirms those values that the empire held. And Paul is saying, companions on the journey, daughters and sons of God, we must be different. It's not easy, but you've heard me say this time and time and time again, we are not alone. We live in God's world. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. I believe that some of these thoughts continue what I talked about last Sunday. Probably reminding us of the heart of what it is to be a Christian and challenging us to take it seriously. So I will ask you to repeat after me, and these are my final words, but if you feel you can, after I finish them, I'd invite you to say them together. Be transformed, not conformed. Be transformed, not conformed. May God bless us on this journey. And I want to close with the prayer that was in the Bible notes for those who follow the Bible notes book for today. Has nothing to do with the context, but the prayer is wonderful. Dear Lord, I want my life to be a reflection of your values and teachings. Please help me embody your goodness honestly and wholly. Amen. 620 from Rejoice and Sing for the Healing of the Nations. Undoubtedly one of my favorite Fred Cann hymns. Please be seated. We join together in prayers of intercession. Let us pray. We are your people on this earth, seeking, discerning, struggling, often making mistakes, coming together, learning, being transformed. Help us on this journey to be transformed, not to conform. We pray for your people, the church, different, wide variety, speaking different languages, understanding things in different ways, but seeking your guidance to be who you want us to be at this time and wherever you have placed us. To be loving and kind in a world where there is so much suffering. Loving God, we've been asked to pray today through the prayer guide for the Harbour Project. And the Harbour Project exists because people have tried to come together to help those who have had to flee their countries and become refugees. We pray for human rights in all its variety, in spite of those who feel that they are unnecessary. We pray for the areas of the world where there is conflict and hatred and death and persecution, and that the peace candle we light may truly shine and remind us. Palestine and Israel, Ukraine and Russia, Rwanda and the Democratic Republic of Congo, Syria, Sudan, for social peace in the United States of America, in Argentina, in our own country. We pray for the partnership of churches and the focus meeting tomorrow, and for the plans and projects. We pray for members of our church and of the partnership. And we will have our own names to bring before you, no doubt, and we will do that in a moment of silence. But let us mention Margaret Williams and remember Nancy as she's trying to find her place. And we pray for the Dolings who have moved today and settling down to a new life in Oxford. We pray for those we know who are struggling with health, and we ask you to continue to help Maria and Jean and Mo. And in this silence, we bring before you those who are close to our heart. We thank you for Highworth United Reformed Church, gathered for worship today, and Don, who is accompanying them. We pray, O Lord, that your peace may be the peace that leads us, that your challenges be the challenges that rule our life, that your love, received gratefully, may be the love we share. O Lord, your will be done, and may we, each and all of us, here and everywhere, be part of that will. Through the love of Jesus and the power of the Spirit, we pray. Amen. And we prepare for communion, singing the words of hymn from Rejoice and Sing, 575, God of mercy, God of grace, show the brightness of your faith. Be seated. The table is set, and we're all welcome. Life is hard sometimes. Let's not pretend it's not. The path is often full of pain. We need to know that we won't be alone. We need to know there will be a light in the shadows, a door open, a table set, someone to offer us a loaf and a cup, a song and a story, to revive our flagging hearts, a safe refuge for the day ahead. To you all, you have come to that place. Here Christ waits for you and welcomes you without a question. The table is set and you're invited. So come, let yourself be cared for and fed by our faithful, tender friend. We have sung. We have heard the words. We have been moved by the anthem, all part of the preparation for this time, at this moment. Jesus, we remember that you told us to become healers and justice makers, to be those who pray and create, to love and to help, to be blessers and blessings, repenters and second chances, givers and forgivers, spiritually and earthly. We remember that you told us to be salt and light, children newborn and reborn. And we remember in silence the unique becoming you willed for each of us. Dear God, we have not finished our becoming. We are not yet all that you hoped for. So here we are. With our hands opened and our throats dried, we are here for our filling and quenching and becoming. With all your people down through the ages who approach you hoping to be made better, please, God, be with us. And as Jesus, that night, meeting with the disciples for what would be his last earthly supper, he took bread, and as he gave thanks, so do we. Loving God, for the seeds planted and sowed, for the harvest, for the transformation of the grain into flour and flour into bread. The bread is on the table, and the broken bread reminds us of your broken body, so that we may be made whole. In the same way, the cup that becomes the new covenant, shed for many for the forgiveness of sins, shared round that table and so many tables ever since. You see us, you know us, you love us, you feed us, and we are grateful. So when you give us the bread and the cup, may we accept in love. Amen. Once you told a room full of not yet finished believers and unbecoming becomers that you yourself were the healing that they did not know they knew. Once you blessed and broke and shared and sent yourself into their midst, renew that work for us now. And do not leave us without the consolation of the Spirit, more powerful than our own, to run with us, walk with us, and feed us, to eat with us and drink with us. O Lord, prepare us to be transformed. Amen. Take the bread, receive it, hold until we have all received so that we will all eat together. Take and eat the bread that is broken to make us whole. And then the cup was shared, the cup of the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. You have received the cup. Take and drink, and do it in memory of him. Let us pray. Loving God, let this remembering and sharing and proclaiming and feeding be the way we become healers and justice makers, people who pray and create, people who love and help, people who bless and are blessings, repenters and second chances, givers and forgivers, spiritually and earthly, salt and light, and childlike, a newborn. And if after a time it turns out that we still aren't quite what you hoped just yet, then bring us back again and again and again until we are those people. Amen. Our closing hymn from Sing Praise. It's hymn 283, I Will Sing the Wondrous Story of the Christ Who Died for Me.
Thank you.
God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people of all time and all places. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your renewing love to a world that often needs it, and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Saviour. Go as God's children, in the peace that God gives us. The peace of God be with you, with those you love, and with the people of God everywhere. Go in that peace, now and forevermore. Amen.